Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, president of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula.
I was just thinking as you were explaining that about sometimes her perspective that I really wish she would either change or tell us more about are, for example, she can be a real snob toward Adele.
Yeah,
Adele B, that's the child ward of Rochester. Yeah. And sometimes she seems extremely empathetic and like a good teacher, but there's sometimes she kind of forgets she exists. And there's sometimes she starts talking about just because the child wants to go play with dolls and she got a new dress and is spinning around, that shows bad, shallow character.
Yeah, and sometimes that's attributed to her being French. She's a French child. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yes, the idle French. You know, it's kind of condescending. It's not nice to children, you know, it's like, and I realized that, you know, the character Jane Eyre grew up in, you know, a workhouse, basically. She was eventually sent to this, you know, orphanage or whatever you want to call it, this school for...
Yeah, the charity school.
The charity school, thank you. Mm-hmm. I couldn't think of that word. And here's Adele, who's you know, characterized by Jane Eyre as being, you know... frou-frou, frivolous of mind, but she's a child.
Mm-hmm.
She's a child who has no control over her environment, just as Jane had no control over hers. And her environment is that she is catered to and being raised by a wealthy person's household. And why shouldn't she dance around in a pretty new dress or have it? I mean, she's a child. She doesn't know better, quote unquote, to say, oh, this fancy dress. If I prance around in it, I'm frivolous. I mean, she's a child, you know.
Right.
Oh, this new doll makes me frivolous. I mean, she's just a child. And Jane has no kindness towards that a lot of the time. And when she does have kindness for it, it's a grudging almost kind of kindness. And it is peppered with that kind of, oh, she's French. Oh, it's almost like she thinks she's never going to be an intellectual person. She's just a simple child. And she always will be simple. You know, she kind of just condescends Adele away in that. I don't like that. And I don't know how much of that is the character Jane Eyre or how much of that, like you said that, you know, the Bronte sisters were raised in a certain, you know, intellectual environment. And they were obviously raised to respect intellectualism. And Adele is a character who doesn't really exhibit, you know, intellectualism even on a childlike level. Uh-huh. And so you have to wonder how much of Charlotte Bronte's viewpoint of children who weren't being raised in intellectual environments, she wrote those children off, you know. So it's interesting.
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I think we should talk about that more under class too, because I think when we get into the whole Blanche Ingram and that whole party.
Yes, and also the school that she has that St. John sets up for her.
Uh-huh.
The way she talks about those children that she's teaching made me very uncomfortable in a lot of ways. So, yeah, we will come back to Jane and her snobbiness when we talk about class hierarchy and structure.
Right.
To talk more about the percentages of the book that's spent on each life stage, because we sort of dealt with that a little bit when we talked about Gone with the Wind, and even when we talked about Little Women, you know, we have an entire... With Little Women, it was two entire books. The first one focused on childhood to very young adulthood, and the second book that became the second half of the book we know as Little Women was about these young adults, you know, life. So I want to delve into that in the Jane Eyre, an autobiography.
Sure. And here, I think it is very important to point out that if you have only experienced Jane Eyre, oh, readers at home, if you've only experienced it by watching a movie or a miniseries, a lot of those focus on the time she spends with Rochester at Thornfield.
Yes.
If you read the book, the percentages are much more diverse. It goes 90 pages with her childhood. 235 with Rochester at Thornfield Hall, 15 visiting her dying aunt, 110 on her life at Moor House, that's a St. John section, and then 43 pages reuniting with Rochester. So that means 44%, so nearly half of the book does not have Rochester in it.
Right.
And I think that that tells us more than anything that this book is not meant to be just a romance.
Right.
It is meant to be Jane's journey to self-realization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, I was giving Bronte a little bit of a hard time in the fact that sometimes her children don't behave like real-life children. But childhood is very important to Bronte. And I think she understands very much how influential your childhood is on your development.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes she just out and out says that a child's perception, you know, they're capable of feeling, but they may not be able to analyze why.
Right.
I'm like, that's a good observation.
We just spent 45 minutes talking about me not being able to do that when I was a kid. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And I think this is where, when you really look at those percentages that you gave us, people will start to understand that this book is a primer, if you will, like Little Women was meant to be, kind of a moralistic how to raise children, how to look at childhood development. That's what this book really is. It's not just this gothic romance, like you said. You know, you make such a good point about the adaptations, movie or film adaptations of this book.
Right. And I know why the movies and the miniseries choose to do that. Part of it's time. You can't cover everything. But part of it is that it would slow the pacing down. It would slow it down so badly. The only one that I have seen in its proper proportions is the one with Timothy Dalton and Zella Clark from the early 1980s.
Yeah.
But that one's like a 12-hour version. They had the luxury to do that.
Yeah, they had the luxury to do it. I think... You know, when I read this book, it's almost like the gothic romance is set in the middle of the bookends of the moralistic teachings, if you will. Because suddenly we go from this childhood, we're getting all this teachings and lessons of childhood and how this child is being treated and mistreated, shall we say, and all the explanations as to why children must be treated this way or mistreated this way. And suddenly we're in this gothic romance with this crazy thing in the attic happening and mysteries and romance and gypsy disguises and the Ingram girl and, you know, all this gothic romance craziness. And then we're suddenly back in the moralistic teachings with the St. John section and the resolution. You know, it's so bizarre. It's such a bizarre book. And it's like the people who did the adaptations, I think you're right when you say they kind of speed through the parts of the book that don't have anything to do with Rochester, and then plunk, we're in this gothic mystery romance, you know, with the crazy woman in the attic, and Rochester, the dark and brooding hero, or sort of hero, I don't know, and Jane, the innocent and noble, you know, heroine, and it's like, you know, it's like, whoa, there's so much more in the book than that, but yeah, it's definitely not just a romance, as you said, it's definitely not just a romance. Just to kind of sum up the structure-y stuff, we definitely feel like our books kind of take us through a lot of child issues, growth issues, let's say that, whether it's from childhood to adulthood or young adulthood to slightly older young adulthood, different things like that. I think at least three of them, Dracula being the one that's doesn't do this, I think fit pretty squarely into a moralistic style. I think even Gone with the Wind does that, because there's so much in Gone with the Wind where Scarlett's thinking about how different she feels and thinks about things than her counterparts, her
True.
The other people in her social class, if you will. Mm-hmm. That there's morals in there. You know, most famously, I think what we're going to come out of this is that unlike the movie, the book really does kind of tell you, let the past go. It's gone. And Scarlett personifies that, since she's always kind of moving forward and against the societal norms of the Old South after the war, especially. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. Jane Eyre and Little Women also have these morals in them told through, you know, kind of like romance and death and loss and, you know, supernaturally things happening in attics. We don't know if there's a ghost. We don't know what it is in Jane Eyre. And then Dracula is kind of like its whole different... Dracula has its own unique structure and I think is kind of has its own unique style in a way, at least of these four books. Join us next time as we continue to discuss various themes and issues found in the four books that we've chosen for this year's NICE: Gone with the Wind, Dracula, Jane Eyre, and Little Women. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.